Guys, so this morning I'm going to finish off on the series that we did on sin. It's actually something very difficult to finish off on. And it's very difficult to decide in which direction are you going. In which direction, because the topic of sin is so broad. But ultimately, our focus is Jesus. Okay. If I continue to look at all my sin, I will feel so discouraged. But there is a very important thing that I felt that I want to talk on today. And that is, how do we deal with other people's sin? How do we deal with other people's sin? Now, even that topic in itself is so broad that I can do another 4-piece series on that. Okay. I'm not going to, guys. I'll try to keep it short this morning. Because it's such a broad spectrum. In the Bible, there's certain parts in the Bible where it says, do not tolerate sin amongst the believers. In the Church of Corinthians, there was a boy who slept with his father's wife. So I believe that is not a biological mom. I'm not sure. And then Paul was so direct because they tolerated that kind of sin amongst them. And eventually he said, hand him over to Satan. I'm not going to talk about that sin this morning, okay? But what has happened the last few weeks is we started talking about sin, and then the equip happened that was also about understanding our position in Jesus, understanding the valleys. And there's so many guys that said, listen, I need to deal with my things. And there's also other people that came forward, not even part of this congregation, but that actually said, do you know that that guy is struggling with that sin and is in your church? And then I was like, yeah, I do know. And then often people would like to have justice, and it's not their place. So I want to talk to you guys. My prayer this morning is that as I share, that you catch something of the heart of Jesus. Because Jesus was accused to be a friend of sinners. So there's a balance in that we have to understand. There's a balance in understanding that no, we do not tolerate sin, but we love people. Okay, so we have to keep that in balance. Because if we only say that we do not tolerate sin, none of us can be here. We're all sinful people. And then we'll start looking at the law, reading out the law, and we're all guilty. But often, people do not want to expose their sin because of how they have been treated in the past and examples of what they've seen that believers did, that they feel, I'm not going to bring my sin out amongst these people because this is a dangerous place. Now, first of all, there's the area of when we are a church and we are visitors, and the visitors that's visiting us is living in sin. I've had the question quite recently about when are we going to speak to them about their sin? And my question was, have you introduced them to Jesus? Before we're just talking about the sin. You know, I'm very careful to call people sin out unless it's a leader in the church. Because a leader in the church had to go through the testing, had to go through the fire. And because of that, when it's a leader, we address the sin. Because then we can't tolerate that. Okay. But when we have a visitor coming here because they're lost and they want to find Jesus, why do we look at the sin? Why are we surprised when sinners sin? And often, our posture is to show out the negative instead of understanding that Jesus sent them to us to love and to show him to them. Do we understand that? So, in COVID, I have shared my testimony before. In COVID, I had my own business. I was in construction. And then COVID happened. A week before COVID happened, I took on quite a big project. I didn't know that we're going to go in lockdown. I mean, who would have ever guessed lockdown? So Cape Town was very strict. There was the military was everywhere. You can't do anything without permits. You can't drive without permits. So I took on this massive project. What I did is I had a certain group of contractors, subcontractors that I always used. They are very high in demand. So when you take them on, you have to pay a deposit to secure them for the dates. You can't just say you're going to come and work for me. They don't care about that. They want deposits. So I took the deposits that I received and I started paying deposits and buying materials and all of that. Then COVID hit. So I did not have the insurances that I had, that I needed to have, to pay myself a salary. All that money is lost. It's paid to subcontractors. That money is gone. And then they started opening up for people to start working again. And then in that time, I worked again, but this guy was in my church, in our church. Yeah, I was actually discipling him. So now I started being fearful because I'm doing business with a church friend, a brother in church, and I cannot do his project. But I kept quiet about it because I was afraid of failure. I knew this thing is going to go skew now. So eventually, I couldn't do the job as I was supposed to do it, but I did not tell him. So in construction, in business, any business, you often move money around. So then I would accept another job, and then I'll move that money into this job to secure a payment for this job so that I can start that job. And it was just a mess. It was all over the place. Eventually, the guy cornered me and said, "What's happening?" And I was caught out. And that was actually seen as sin because I wasn't honest with him when he asked me, "Will he be able to do my project?" I've learned out of that lesson. After that, I refused to go back in construction. But my leader said, "No, you need to go back in business. You need to work through this thing." And they journeyed with me. But when this thing was exposed, I discipled quite a lot of guys in Stellenbosch. A lot of students, I journeyed with quite a lot, but I wasn't an elder. But because of that, the elder asked me, would I be open to repenting in front of the whole church? So I said, yes, I will. So I stood up that day in front of everyone, and I explained to them what happened. I offended a very good friend of mine very badly. I lost him as a friend. I went into very bad debt. And now I stood there and sharing with people, and everyone's looking at me. So you get different facial expressions because sin is exposed. So I had people who after that meeting started avoiding me because I messed up. So they avoided me clearly as daylight. I mean, as clearly as you walk on the sidewalk, they walk and they turn around, they walk the other way. Because they don't want to speak to me now. Then I had people who was curious and they wanted details. What really happened? And then I had people who wanted to fix me every time they saw me. So every time they saw me, they just called out everything. "Hey, you work on this." You know? Then I tried to avoid them. And then I had a lot of people who judged me. And said, "Yana, that guy is a dirty businessman. Don't do anything with him." And then I had people that really loved me. They took me into their homes. Me and my family. They journeyed with us. They counseled us. They loved us. And they actually helped me to open my heart in a time of difficulty. But the reality is we have different responses when people bring this sin into the light. You know what's a good way to see someone's position of their heart is let someone else repent in front of them. Because it will show what's going on in their hearts. And one of the unfortunate responses to sin is judging others. When there's others with sin, then all of a sudden we have a lot to say. And I'll give you an example. In John 8, verse 1 to 5, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives. But early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. And as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. All the righteous men grabbed the lady. They knew this lady is a sinner. Obviously, their intentions was to court out Jesus. They want to catch him out so that they can point fingers at him. You know, the reality is they took that lady that's full of sin to the only righteous man who ever walked this earth. To the only one without sin ever. So now, the religious people saw sin and pointed fingers. You know, when we judge people, it's actually pride in our hearts. It's actually a thing where we say, I can't believe you did it. I can't believe that person did something like that. As if it's a surprise that someone sinned amongst us. It's now a surprise that, oh my hat, can't believe that happened. I would never do something like that. Oh, that's dangerous. Believe me, never say that. Believe me, I've tasted that pudding many times. A lot of times, it's much easier to focus on the negative, to draw all the attention to the negative of a person instead of loving someone. So they brought this person to Jesus, ready to even judge Jesus. And Jesus stood back, wrote in the sand. Everyone's standing there waiting for a response. I believe this is not maybe, this is my thinking, this is not maybe 100% doctrine, that Jesus wrote down the law. So he wrote in the sand. Everyone's standing there looking at the response of Jesus. And then he said, if there's anyone without sin, pick up a stone and throw. The Bible says one by one they started leaving. We're talking about the leaders of the church in that day. It's easy to want to pick up a stone. And often it's because you do not realize the sin in your own life. We cannot love people like that. If there's someone that brings sins into the light, we need to be able to love that person. You know what the righteous man said? Go and sin no more. Jesus said, you know what? Just go and sin no more. He saved her life that day. She was supposed to die because according to the law of Moses, they were supposed to stone her. But Jesus said, go and sin no more. He saved her life. And he saw everything. We know what happened in John 4 when when Kim was preaching about it with the lady at the well. He sees everything. You know, our sin is not hidden from the Lord. Everything is exposed. And his response was, just go and sin no more. But then we also get Luke 18:11. I was like this for many years. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people. This was early in my walk with Jesus. That I'm not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. Self-righteousness. Matthew 7, verse 1 to 2 says, Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And then also, when people bring sin into the light, there's often a thing of gossiping going around. But it's holy gossip. It's not sin. Because you really want to pray for this person, but you need a prayer partner. You guys have seen that? Listen, I want to tell you something, but it's all about Jesus. And I'm so concerned. But have you heard? Holy gossip. Sharing information. You know what I have found in this journey of loving people and trying to point people to Jesus? What I've often seen is people who's really insecure choose to push other people's sin up so that they can hide behind it and look more righteous. They are seeking validation from people through their opinions. So they're trying to show someone like, listen, I'm not like that. But I can't believe a person did that. You know my friend, Mervis, we watched the video at the Equip. We repented in front of the church. If you know that man, he's amazing. He's so loving. He helped me. He helped me to break free from my anger. The Lord used him mightily in my life. He was one of the only people that opened his house. I was every day in his house in one of the roughest times of my life when I actually considered suicide. And he loved me. Man, he showed me Jesus. And he discipled me. And he always taught me, he said, Anton, you know what? You know what's sin? Sin is the absence of Jesus. Just get more of Jesus in your life, Anton. Seek Jesus. Now my brother fell in sin. And then they said, he had a problem with alcohol. I was like, there's no way, guys. Not nervy, man. You don't know. But he did. But you know how many people have a lot to say about that? You know how many people have a lot to say about the sin of a friend who really loves Jesus and made a mistake. He fell short. He messed up massively. Yes, he did. I won't minimize his sin. But people would share the stories everywhere because he's such a big name in 412. It's the insecurities to almost show that I did not fall like that apostolic voice has fallen. Be careful for pride in your hearts and wanting to show out other people's sin. Be so careful to do that as if we're righteous and holy. And then we do have the passive responses as well. We have the response that says, that's nothing, man. No, sin isn't nothing. We recognize the sin, but we don't minimize it. But we also don't put it on the TV so that everyone can see that I sweat at home. There's a thing of understanding the love of Jesus when we deal with sin. There's a thing of understanding believers when there's sin in our midst and not to expose people and throw people under the bus. There's a thing of loving the unlovable. Zacchaeus, as an example, was a very sinful man. He stole from people. He was known for that. He was wealthy because of that. Jesus chose to go and eat with him. You know what happened after that? Salvation came to his house because he met Jesus. Not the Pharisees, not the scribes. He met Jesus. And as I always say, we always land on what does the Bible say? What is the guideline the Bible gives us? So as I said, this is not about unrepented sin in the church. that's actually drawing people away from God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sinful people meeting together to worship Jesus. Okay. If there is unrepented sin in this church, we'll deal with it. According to how the Bible explains. But we'll be gentle and kind and soft and make sure that that person meets Jesus. So Galatians 6 verse 1 to 2 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin," I felt like this many times. With my anger, I was overcome by it. It's something that I definitely believe that I'm going to die with this thing. I was overcome by this sin. You who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Gently and humbly help that person onto the right path. And then there's a warning, and then it says, "And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself." You know how many times I've seen that? My wife can actually confirm that. You don't need to confirm now, Boki. Okay? After I meet with someone that struggles with anger, I'll go home and I'll be tempted with that. After I meet with someone who struggles with lust, the devil will come and knock on the door. Because he doesn't want freedom for that person. So what does he want to do? He want to take my spiritual authority so that I fall in the same thing. So it says, be careful when you journey with someone. Be careful that you do not fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? You should love the Father all your heart and mind and soul. And then, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So when we see a believer that's walking in sin, we should love that person. We should be gentle and kind and slow to rush to it. We don't ignore the sin. We're aware of it. Be aware of the sin. But we are kind to that person. Pull them in, go and sit with them with a coffee. Build a relationship with them. Jesus modeled it. And then you say, when the bridge is strong enough, you start crossing that bridge. When the bridge is not there, don't cross a bridge that's not there. You'll be eaten by the crocodiles. We will lose people that way. And you know what? If you have a friend that's struggling in sin, come and speak to us. How do we deal with this? But we can't act as if we're all holy. You know, none of us can sit here today and by our works and our righteousness we will into heaven. It's because of the blood of Jesus. We are all fallen short. We all miss it. But often we point fingers as if we have arrived. Man, I'm telling you, if you want to realize that you have not yet arrived, spend time with Jesus. You will see his holiness and realize, oh my word. How can someone so holy love someone so messed up like me? You know what? The scribes and Pharisees showed their self-righteousness to such a degree that people said that that is unreachable. You know what Jesus said to them? You white-plastered tombstones. Beautiful outside, but dead inside. We are not there to judge people. We are there to love them with the love of Jesus. When we love people with the love of Jesus, I'm telling you, they will come to repentance. It's the goodness and kindness of God that leads men to repentance. So once again, I'm going to say, I'm not talking about unrepented sin in the church that's pulling people away from God. I'm talking about normal human beings with sin in their lives. You know, I think I have told it before. I was called into a meeting once with elders. And they sat there. This guy was very upset with me, an elder. And this was after this journey of being pressed and sharpened and feeling like, yes, I am worth nothing but Jesus. Okay. So the elder called in me with the lead elder, and then he accused me because I tolerate people's sin. So I didn't know what he was talking about. So I asked, can you maybe just explain what you mean? Because I don't really tolerate sin, but I don't focus on sin. I focus on Jesus. Okay. So he said, I meet with people at my house, and those people are serious sinners. They drink everything at my house. And then I don't address the fact that they get drunk. So I asked him, where did someone get drunk at my house? And he couldn't answer me. But I said to them, you know what? That guy would often go to the bar, but he's at my house now. And we'll often end off with a coffee and speak about Jesus. And then I was accused again of tolerating sin. So I repented then and I said, I'm sorry, then I'm missing it. I'm missing the mark. So the lead elder turned to him and said, show me how many disciples have you brought through over the last few years? Because I can't count them, the ones that Anton brought through. And he said, your focus is wrong. Stop with your jealousy and don't touch what Anton is doing, because he's making disciples of nations. You know, there's that thing of, I'm not boasting, I'm giving an example. It's easy to look at sin, guys. You know what? If you spend a week with me in my house, you will see that I'm not perfect, eh? I'm very far from it. I'm very far from perfect. Guys, if you come to a church with a perfect pastor, I'm telling you, I'm not perfect. I'm a normal human being, a broken man who God has chosen to do his work, because he's God and he does it that way. So what I'm not saying is we should not entertain sin. We should not say, ach, but it's okay, and minimize the sin. But we should love the person and show them Jesus and not judge them. If the sin caused division in our midst, we address it. Like we have. We have. You know, the reason why I didn't share my sin for many, many, many years is because I was afraid of what people will do with the information of my heart. And I was afraid for my family, my wife, and the consequences of my sin. So I never really understood what would happen, but Satan told me what would happen. You would lose your wife. You will lose your friends. Everyone will look down. It's going to be so humiliating. That is the words when we are stuck in sin that Satan whispers in your ear. And then God, through a friend, showed his love to me. And he showed me that it's because of the blood that he loves me. He loves me so much. He loves me so much. Because of that, I started opening up my heart. And then with those guys who were mature in their faith, you can look by the fruit, I didn't just say with anyone, who were mature in the faith, stewarded my heart well, I started being so accountable that they eventually asked me, okay, that's enough now. We don't need to, you're doing all right, stop now. You're bothering us too much. Because I found a safety. And unfortunately, because people do not trust people because of stuff that people has done, and even church, they are careful to share their heart with people that God has placed there because of the hurt. But God has designed it that way. So there's certain sin that you need to repent directly with God with. It's fine, and you turn your ways. But there's certain strongholds in people's lives where you need to go to someone for help. Like mine was my anger. It was a stronghold in my life. And because of that, I had to bring it to someone to help me break this thing. someone with authority. Does that make sense, guys? So we need to create a space as believers that people actually feel safe that when they share their things, that it's not going to be thrown to the pigs. That their heart will be stewarded and loved and pointed to Jesus. That they will feel a safety of Jesus, not of people, but of Jesus. That is why accountability is so important, even between leaders. You know, often I've journeyed with people, and then we can't get breakthrough in this one area. And then I was like, I don't know what to do anymore. Then I'll ask that person, would you please be open to the idea of me sharing it with this elder in the church? Because I know that he struggled with it many years ago in this victory. So that we can just get help. And then the people will say yes, and often that actually results in that person having victory in that area. But what people has done over the years is when you share your heart, they go into the holy gossip mode, share it with everyone else, and then everyone prays for that person, but they're actually gossiping and slandering and hurting a heart that Jesus has placed in our midst. So it's very important for us to understand the love of Jesus if you want to journey with someone. If you do not understand the love of Jesus, you're going to be judging, pointing out. Often I would sit with someone. They would cry in front of me because of their mess. While they're crying and they feel their world is falling apart, I'm thinking to myself, Lord, where would I have been if it wasn't for you now? I would have been probably a lot worse off than this person. Often I think it. Oh Lord, I would have most probably been dead by now. Often. And then I look at this person crying, and you know what? I get excited in my heart because they saw Jesus and the conviction is there. And they're moving towards the person of Jesus. There's a beauty in understanding the love of God for people. Not tolerating sin, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the love of God for people. The love that Jesus had. You know, he was called a drunkard, and he was called friend of sinners. He was called the prince of demons because of the people he mingled with. He didn't belong to an elite group that rode on white horses and only entered certain places. No, he went in where the sinners are and shared his love with him, and salvation came. So it's important for us, this morning is very practical, but I want to share with you, it's important for us to create our hearts, to create a safe place in our hearts for people that are struggling with sin. To have love for people that's afraid to share what they're feeling. And to love one another well. Amen. So we have been called to the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people to the Father through Jesus, okay? We have been called to be gentle. We have been called to be kind. And we have been called to humility, which I sometimes lack a lot of. So I want you guys to quickly close your eyes. If you are sitting here this morning, there are people this morning that's stuck in sin that you cannot get free from. So I want you to quickly look at your life now. You know if it's you. I mean, you can hide it from me, but you cannot hide it from the Lord. So if you're sitting here this morning and you have unrepented sin in your heart, and you've, every time after you fell in that sin, said, God, I'm sorry. But then before you know it, you fall in that again. You cannot journey this thing out alone. You know who you are. So this is the truth that I'm telling you now. You need to walk in accountability with someone. You need to go to a mature believer. I'm not saying throw your heart to the pigs, guys. I'm saying go to a mature believer who's bearing fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you need to start sharing your life with that person so that the Lord can bring healing. So if you are sitting here this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict you. Do not continue in your sin because of the fear of man. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I want to encourage you, if you're sitting here this morning and you're stuck in sin, God wants to set you free. If you think you're going to die with a sin, that's a lie from the devil. He wants you to think that. There's no shame in coming to the Lord. He already knows everything. He's not surprised when you share. He already knows it. So if you have kept things hidden in your heart, I want to encourage you to repent of those things. Do not tolerate the little foxes in your life. Sin gives sin birth to sin that gives birth to death. And then, if you're sitting here this morning, you're actually struggling to deal with other people when they have sin in their lives. And you struggle to sometimes see the love of the Father for them. And you feel like, I want to love them like Jesus would love them. I want to have that wisdom in loving people the way that Jesus would love them. But you're struggling. I want you to stand up and to respond, to say, Lord, Holy Spirit, give me the wisdom. Give me the courage. Give me the faith. Give me your strength, not my strength, Lord. Give me your heart for this person. Give me compassion, Lord, for the lost. So if you're sitting here today and you're actually struggling with that, you're struggling with self-righteousness, you're struggling with gossiping, you're struggling with stories of people and their sins, I want to call you to repent this morning. I will repent. But I want to encourage you. I'm not gonna end now. I want to push it a bit because I feel there's people here that need to repent of this. So if that's you, every eye closed. If that's you, I want you to stand up. Every eye will remain closed. Let's honor one another. I'm going to give a bit more time. If you're struggling to love the unlovable, if you're struggling to see the love of Jesus for someone else, I want you to stand. We need to be a people who love one another. Jesus said, this is how the world will know that you are my disciples, is if you love one another. So every eye closed. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Be strong and courageous, guys. I also feel there's unforgiveness because of how you have been treated before when you did share your sin. If there's anyone like that, I want to encourage you this morning to repent of that unforgiveness. I'm not saying it's an easy journey, man. Believe me, I've been there, done that. But if you're sitting here and you're struggling to forgive because of how people have treated you after you exposed your heart to them, I want you to also respond. The Lord is breaking chains this morning. The Lord is setting people free this morning. The Holy Spirit is working now. The Holy Spirit is working now. You know, He comforts those who mourn. He helps those. He says, if we ask for wisdom, He'll give it to us. You know the beautiful thing, if you don't have the love, You can ask for the love, and He will give it to you. So every eye closed, let me pray. Father, I thank You for each and every person standing this morning. I thank You for their courage. I thank You that they were brave this morning, not in themselves, but in You, Lord. Father, I pray that You will work in hearts this morning. As the heart has responded to You, that Holy Spirit, that they will be showered with Your love. Lord, I pray that You will break down the lies that the enemy has whispered over years in their ears, of they will be stuck with this hurt forever. They will be stuck in this place forever. We cut that off now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that You will shower them with Your love. You're a good dad. And You love us so much. Comfort them, Holy Spirit. Lead them, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that we do not do this out of our own strength, but only because of You, Jesus. Every eye closed. You guys can sit. You guys can sit. So, Lord, I thank You for this morning. I thank You, Lord, that You are busy teaching us how to love people, Lord. Because You love people. Father, how can we say that we love one another, but we think the worst of one another? Lord, we don't want to be hypocrites or broad of vipers, Lord, like You said to the Pharisees that think they're more highly than other people. Lord, You have died for each and every person sitting in this building. Lord, give us the compassion for the lost. Show us how to love the right way, Lord. And Lord, show us that if there are sin that needs to be exposed and need to be addressed, Lord, that we do not do it in our way. That we will do it in Your way, Jesus. That we will love people with the love that's not from this world, but Your love, Jesus. Lord, I want us to stop saying the right things, Lord. I don't want us to be a people who says all the right things and does all the right sermons and all the right. I want to be in right standing with You, Father. I want us to be a church who loves You so much, Jesus, that we're willing to lay down our own ways to grow in You, Lord. So I thank You for that, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.